Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our show live tonight, coming from New York and Mexico, tied together into one beautiful card. And what we're going to talk about today, once I lower this music so you guys can hear me, one second, there we go, much better. You guys can hear me because today we have an amazing guest. Debbie is what you call an oracle. Her name is Debbie Anderson. She is actually one of the leading experts on oracle decks. So if you guys have ever used a deck, then you know what I'm talking about. But if you've never used it, you're about to find out what it is and how to use it, and how amazing the cards are in predicting where you are and giving you directions on where you want to go, which I'm going to let Debbie explain to you, because my understanding is not that big about it. I do know it is an ancient communication system that helps you communicate with spirit. So it actually connects human consciousness to spiritual consciousness. And basically what you get from the cards are a lot of guidance and a lot of answers on how to align yourself with your heart and your soul. So there's nothing more rewarding and more exciting than getting answers from a source that you know is authentic. And Debbie Anderson is one of the leading experts in entire North America and the use of oracle cards. So if you're curious about oracle cards and if you want to hear more about it, then you're exactly where you want to be right now. And I would like to welcome Debbie so that she can give you all the information that you need to know about it. Well, I don't know if all the information, we don't have that much time, but Debbie Anderson, welcome to Tippy Talk so much. We're so excited to have you.
Well, thank you, Tippy. I'm so honored to be here. And I know we're going to have a fun evening because, as you said, everybody that wants to learn, explore, play is in exactly the right place in the intention of being here and turning up for your show. So I love it.
Thank you, Debbie. So let me tell everybody a little bit about you. I know that you are a clairvoyant, and you are known internationally. You were born in England, obviously. All you have to do is say hello for anyone to realize that. And and that you have experienced the spirit communication from when you were very young. When was the first time? How old were you and how did you experience it?
When I was about 4 years of age, and sadly it wasn't the most profound experience for me, because at that time my parents were going through a divorce. My mom, my brothers, and I were the same as my grandparents, and it was not an environment which we are very blessed to have today, where parents and grandparents and sisters and brothers and so forth are a little bit more open-minded. So, you know, when we hear a child that wakes up in the middle of the night and they're saying, "There was somebody sitting at the end of my bed," we don't quite go, "Oh, it's just a bad nightmare, go back to sleep." We're more open to saying, "Well, maybe it was spirit just coming down. Tell me some more, explain a little bit more." But I didn't have that. And at that time when this was happening, and the spirit were obviously trying to reassure me everything was going to be okay. And this is like the beginning of this journey that you're going to go on to. So get buckled up, kid, and get in there and you're going to have fun. So they came a few times and sat on my grandmother's bed and lit up my the bedroom, which was very dark in those days. We didn't have a lot of street lighting. And then eventually they stopped coming. But it was an on-off relationship with spirit, because I would have an imaginary friend, I suppose. Or that's what we call it today. And that was my spirit friends that would come and stay with me, because where we were staying with my grandparents, we had to be pretty quiet in there and not make a lot of noise. So I would just chatter away, having my dolls and my tea parties with my friends in spirit, and assuming it was just a natural thing to do. So as time went on, obviously I explored that. I played with tarot cards. It was a journey, like everybody has this journey. I suppose the point, as I say, it was at 4 years of age when it happened, and there were all these different transitions and transformations that happened along the way.
Wow. You really, when they talk about starting young, they're not kidding. It's 4 years old. God, that's amazing. But I want you to tell me more about this imaginative friend that kids have a lot of imaginary friends, and I've always thought it was just imaginary friends. Tell me your take on that. What is an imaginary friend?
Well, an imaginary friend, see, my son, when he was younger, my first husband, we lived in areas where there weren't a lot of other children. So he made friends, I suppose, or imaginary made up things, and he would go off and explore and play and all that kind of thing. And it was one day he came running down the stairs, and I actually saw a child run past me, a spirit child. And my son said, "Where did you go? Where did you go?" And I said, "Oh, I can't tell you, because you're playing hide and seek." And he said, "Yeah, how did you know that?" And I said, "Because, you know, I sort of know these things." So anyway, he went off and played, and there was nothing made, there was no big deal made of it. So children up to the age of 8 years of age are still so connected to spirit. And, you know, for anybody out there that has children, grandkids, or nieces and nephews, or any young children, if you're around them and they start saying profound things, the chances are they're talking to somebody in spirit. They're getting that information tapped down to them. And it's wonderful, because we can actually learn so much from them. And the more we are open to it, the more relaxed a child can be to allow this to happen. And I mean for it to happen, because they don't force anything. It's only us, as we get older, we want to see spirit. I want this connection. I want this to happen. And we sort of try and force it around the children. It's natural. It's there. They're still connected to spirit, so they can connect with angels, helpers. Usually, at that point, it can be family members that have passed into spirit, or it can just be guardian angels and potential helpers for them for the rest of their lives.
Wow, so you don't think it's just imagination. You think that it's actually real, but older people just can't tune into it. It's like what you're saying is that it's a different energy level or something like that?
Yeah, it's a different frequency. So think of it like a radio station. We all tune into different radio stations. Sometimes we want pop. Sometimes we want meditation music. Sometimes we want rock. Maybe we want the talkie show. And that's exactly what children are doing. So if we can tune in using a radio to connect with those frequencies, because we can't see them, we just trust that they're there, then it's definitely how children do it and how we as adults connect with spirit. A lot of it is to do with trust. And I would say to people, if you're not sure if it's a child's imagination, just ask them a few key questions. Things like, so tell me what your friend is like. Where do they come from? You know, some kids actually have it that they have a place laid at the table, and the imaginary friend is there to have supper with them or breakfast with them. Now, for some adults, if they're open to that, as I say, they play along. But if you're not sure whether it is their imagination, ask them a few key questions. So tell me about this person. Where are they from? How did you get to know them? Things that we would do if we were just meeting somebody's friend for the first time. You know, so how was your day at school? So who did you meet? What did you do there? Those kind of things. But don't do it in a way that will shut the child down. Because like any of us, whether we're children or adults, when somebody comes in and says, oh, you're just making it up, or, oh, that's rubbish, or something like that, it can be quite hurtful and quite painful. So encourage the child. Allow them to have that time. They're not going to get into any mischief. And I always say to people, when you've got young children, especially very young children, like 3, 4, and 5, they'll be having conversations with nobody in the room. And you may think that they're having the conversation with the cat or the dog that's sitting there. But just watch where the cat and the dog are actually looking. They're not actually looking at the child, they're looking at something else. So, you know, animals do pick up spirit in the house or around us. So just listen to what they have to say. And if they say something profound to you, don't shut them down. Listen, you might actually learn something.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So yeah, I was walking with a 3-year-old in the woods the other day, and all of a sudden, halfway through, she turns around to me and says, are you having a good time? A 3-year-old.
Absolutely.
Wow, that does not sound like a 3-year-old at all. It was very shocking.
No, they're more in tune than we are. And I think sometimes we need to listen to, you know, younger children. Not necessarily when they say, I need candy. Parents told me I need candy.
Right.
I never had that one. I can never play that one. And my son's actually never did either, but can you imagine it? The kid coming up and saying, my friend in spirit said I can have candy now. Well, that one I would be questioning.
Right. Exactly. So how did that graduate to using an oracle deck and then creating one? How did that transition go?
Well, of course, it doesn't happen overnight. As Willie Nelson said, it took me a lifetime to become an overnight success. So it was a transition. I was playing back in the 1970s, when it was way before internet, when there wasn't a lot of metaphysical things available in the UK. I got my hands on a wide awake deck, and it was a pretty old one. I think it was Rider Waite. So that's the one I transitioned to. It was almost my go-to deck. I loved it because it was just simple. All the imagery on there told me everything I needed to know. So using that deck without having any other insights other than the little book, which I was too lazy to read, I actually would do it intuitively. But I didn't realize I was reading the deck intuitively. So I took a course to learn how to do it properly. And that was when I actually learned that I was doing it intuitively, and the properly didn't really exist in my world, in my sphere, because I was connecting with my higher self, I was connecting with spirit, and I was getting the answers that I needed. But what came out of that, and this is where I always say to people, okay, so you pay to go on a workshop, and then you get there and you go, well, this was a waste of time. Thank you, spirit, for guiding me here. There's never a waste of time. There's a reason for you being there. And my reason for being there and taking that workshop was to find other people of like mind. And at that time, and that was in the 1980s and early 90s, and again, no internet. I know people are probably rolling their eyes and going, there was a world before internet. Yes, there was. And some of the older folks actually survived in it. You know, we'd have to read a book or go on a workshop or something like that. And that's how we learned. A group of us got together, And we would meet up regularly once a week, and we would do some meditation. And one person would go on a workshop, or one person would read a book, and then they would share it with the others in the group. And that's how we started to learn. And then it's sort of, as life goes on, we got the opportunity, somebody in the group had found out about this great metaphysical college in Stansted, Essex, in the UK, called the Arthur Findlay College. And in those days, they just did healing and mediumship, clairvoyance, unlocking your spiritual side. And I was so blessed to be able to learn from some of the great masters of that time called Dickinson, and to be able to understand that this is not a quick railroad experience. You know, I'm in my early 20s. I'm all gung-ho. I want to do this. I want to do it now. And basically, I was told at that time I wouldn't do platform mediumship, which means going out to a big group like John Edwards or the Long Island medium when they go on stage and share messages to a crowd. But I wouldn't do that until I was in my 50s. Well, of course, in my 20s, I was going, well, that's great. I've got to wait till I'm an old lady to do this. And what I didn't realize, and it wasn't a punishment, this was just spirit saying, you know what, you've got life going on, you're going to have a family, you're going to do all these different things, all these different transitions you're going to have, and you won't want to do it until you're in your 50s, which is how it actually turned out. And that's when I created the Oracle Deck as well. And that was something that at the time I was working in corporate world, trying to keep that balance between the corporate world. It pays my bills, it does the things I need it to do. But here on the other side, I'm doing this clairvoyance work, I'm connecting, I'm teaching and this kind of thing. But how am I going to transition over? Well, Spirit kept on saying with a loud voice, you've got to give up your corporate world. And I'm going, but the money's secure, as we all do. So anybody listening, I'm with you, I understand. I've been there, done that, and got the scars, literally. Because what actually happened was this transition, Spirit was saying, you've got to move over. And I'm going, well, I can still do it this way. It's okay. I'm fine. And then they said, no, you've got to do it. And what actually happened was I had an accident at work, which then turned into a further accident in my car, where I got rear-ended when I was ready to go back to work again after the length of time that I was out of work and my money had dwindled and I was getting into debt and all those kind of things that happened. And then I had a car run up the back of me. And so I started to have to do that healing journey all again. And it was at that point that I'm going, okay, I think I'm getting the message now, because my job at that point then disappeared completely. My boss said, I can't hold the token any longer for you. And I was given no choice. Now, I never do anything in a transition of ease and grace. It's usually kicking and screaming, and it's a bit like the roller coaster ride. That's been my life. So anybody out there thinking, oh, she's a clairvoyant medium, it must be so zen-like. No. I'm a human too. I'm a spiritual being having this human experience, or the other way around, I never know which. So it was at that point when the oracle deck came to light. And, of course, because I'm not a great transitioner of I'll listen to Spirit, but I still question them. And I was going, well, come on, there's loads of people out there that create oracle decks. They don't want me to do it. I haven't the first clue about it. I've used tarot decks all these years. And they sort of, I get the sense of them standing there just calmly and serenely waiting for me to do my rant and rave. And then they go, you're doing it. End of discussion.
Wow.
And then all the information.
Done deal.
True. Yeah, it is a bit of a done deal. Anybody that's been guided by Spirit, we can kick and scream, we can fight and try and resist it, but if they really want us to do this or to move into that transition, it happens. It happens. Mm-hmm. Because eventually, it's like, either the doors keep closing or the doors keep opening, whichever direction it is. In my case, all those doors are closing. So it's a case of you have these skills. You can do these readings. You can do this stuff. Now you're going to create an oracle deck. This is going to be your future. And as much as that time,
wow,
I wanted to believe it, there was always that, yeah, but what if? And we all do that. It's a human response. So the oracle deck is, you know, got created over time. It was a case of all these different elements coming together. And then it was like, okay, now I've got to find a publisher. And I did find a publisher, but it wasn't, the publisher wasn't resonating with my key values. And, you know, I thought, okay, I don't want to move forward with this publisher. Now I'm dead in the water. And Spirit was standing there going, no, you're not. And my husband, who's a great supporter of my work, just said, self-publish. I'm going, do you know how much this is going to cost us? Not only in money, but in time and energy and, you know, all of those things. I was like kicking and screaming every step of the way. And so we went down that whole direction, that whole avenue, that pathway of trust. And it was pure trust. It truly was, because like anybody that's written a book or anything like that, you get to that point, you go, oh, what if I get all these books published? I get them all printed up, and I store them in my garage, and they don't sell. What happens then? So then it's that human kind of doubt that comes into us. It's a human response. But my team in spirit were going, yeah, but we're going to make this happen for you. And I'm going, okay. So my husband, we worked with a local printer at that time, and we got the deck published. And I had a wonderful artist, Heather Brewster, who was out of Calgary, who at that point I had never met. Our whole communication was via emails, it was via Skype, and we never physically met, but we were meant to connect. And again, all those transitions in your life when you connected with somebody and it's an out-of-the-blue connection or it's a, how did this happen? They're the important ones. They're the unplanned by us, but stepped into by spirit. And so my husband said, well, let's fill the trunk up of the car, our vehicle, and we'll drive across Canada and you can do some events. I'll do some events with his work. He's a pathfinder questioner. And then we can sell the deck. And, of course, I knew nothing about sales or any of those things. But I kept connecting to the right people that said, hey, I'm going to take you to this store. Or you need to speak to that person. Again, total trust. Total trust. But it's a piece. I always say to people, I can't give you trust in a big package with a bow on it and say, open when you're ready. You just have to have that in your heart. You have to have it. And I always think, I'm going to make up little cards with the word trust on it and then give them to people when they really need them. Because I think it's important for us to, sometimes we need to step back from our ego, our headset, as I call it, or in our head, where everything there seems to be the controlling, practical side of us. You know, that's the part that we need for our day-to-day. How do I get up in the morning? How do I clean my teeth? How do I get in and drive my car? Or how do I find my way to work? That's needed. But we always seem to have that struggle between head and heart. And we need to transition from the struggle, from the massive arguments that we sometimes have. And, hey, I've been there. As I say, guilty as charged. But when we move and transition from that into our heart and create the balance between the two, because we need both for it to work, then we don't have this fight on anymore. And for anybody that's listening that says, yeah, but that's easier said than done, it is easier. And here's how you can do it. And it's a simple technique. When your head starts saying, oh, you can't do that, or you're not good enough, or this is not going to work, or why are you even considering it, just say, thank you for sharing. Don't argue back with it, because it's a lost cause. Your time will just be consumed with it. You'll lose a day, a week, a month, a year. But if you say, thank you for sharing, thank you for bringing that to my attention, the conversation can stop. And then we can get on with things.
Yes, I love that you can get so many things done without even knowing where it's going to go by just following the flow. and just taking a leap of faith and going on the road and saying, okay, let's do it. And things just happen when you least expect it. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And this year we have a leap year. We have a leap year. Mm-hmm. Once in a, I think it's every 4 years is a leap year. And this year we have a leap year.
Oh, yeah.
So we have February the 29th. So maybe anybody out there that's still standing on that sort of, I'm not sure, take a leap of faith. Take a leap of faith because this year, especially 2020, is an amazing opening up, balancing year for us, for everyone in all our walks of life. We're not going to put up with the BS. We're not going to accept, no, I can't do something, or this is what you're being given. We're going to step out of those into what may to some people feel like an extreme. Or for many, it may feel like, oh my gosh, this is what I was born to do, to be. And then as we move forward with that, maybe that leap of faith is, you know what, I'm going to phone a friend that I haven't spoken to in many years. Or maybe I'm going to change my job. Or maybe it's, I'm going to ask the guy out. Or maybe it's, I'm actually going to create something for myself. And there are so many possibilities out there. They're infinite based on what we feel we can do. And just for anybody listening, you don't have to jump into something. You can do it with baby steps. A little bit at a time.
Right.
You don't have to jump.
It's all about baby steps.
Absolutely. And if you feel that you can only do one small thing, then do that one small thing, but do it for yourself. Do it for you because you want it. Not because
Exactly. Yeah.
Or,
yeah. I can get your energy. I get your excitement. I get your energy. But we're running out of time, and I really want to hear more about the oracle cards because I'm very excited about it. And so instead of just talking about the oracle cards, I was wondering, since we have Katie waiting, if you want to crack an oracle card open for her. Yeah. So let me bring her in.
And I'll also explain how to use an oracle deck. It's so easy. Okay.
Yes, let me bring her in, and that way you can explain it to her. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So anybody
let me just make sure
Katie's
here. Katie, are you here with us?
Hi, yes.
Hello?
Oh,
Katie,
hello.
Okay, stand by because, Debbie's going to explain about the oracle cards, and then she's going to give you a chance to ask the question, okay? All right, Debbie, go for
and
it.
I know you have an oracle deck, Katie. I just know it because you're listening into this. So you know you just pick up that deck, you shuffle the cards, and whatever cards fall out are the ones for you, right? Absolutely. And anybody listening in, I've been shuffling the cards here because we had pre-decided, I suppose is the word, that because Katie was the very first person on that had tuned in tonight, that she would get the opportunity for me to do a mini reading. So I'm shuffling the cards, and two cards jumped out. So when cards jump out like they do, they are so important. Forget the rest of the cards. Okay, just forget the rest of the cards. So I'm going to explain, shuffle them like an ordinary deck of cards. Or push them all around on the table. It doesn't really matter. Whatever way. Or even cut the cards and just feel drawn to, do I take this one because it's on the bottom, or do I take this one because it's in the middle? Allow that to happen. Okay, so do you have a question? Because if not, I would like to just share what Spirit has just given me with these two cards.
I do have a question, actually. It's regarding work. I have a man I'm working with currently on one project, and I'm wondering if I should keep him to work on another project that's near and dear to my heart or find somebody new.
All right. Well, here's the two cards that came up. The first one was the F word. Now, in my vibrational energy oracle deck, there were 52 cards. So you had one in 52 chance of whatever cards came out. Now, the F word can mean that sometimes we're in a case of either frustration. Think of all the F words that you know that are in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And there is many F words that we all know.
Yeah.
And I use it occasionally, so it's okay. But think of all of that. So if there's frustration surrounding this person, or if there's it's not going the way you want to, then you've got to shift that whole energy with that person. And I get the sense with them that they are a good person, but sometimes misguided.
Yes.
Okay? So, and with that, because they're misguided, maybe they need a little direction, or maybe they need to have parameters. But don't pen them in. Do you understand what I mean by don't pen them in? Don't say, these are the four walls that you can reside in, because if not, you will not get the best out of them. But they do need guidance. They do need some direction to achieve things. So, like, sometimes when we're doing project management, which I did many years ago, we have a timeline that we have to achieve something by, and then that goes, and then we have the next section that we can do. And I think that's where more that they need this, almost like, you need to achieve this by here, or you need to achieve this by doing that and that, and then when you get to that, then we'll move on to the next section. You can't give them the whole bowl of popcorn in one go. You have to maybe give it to them in little pieces. Because I think when you give them the whole bowl of the popcorn, they're going to be coming overwhelmed. And that's why you don't get the best out of them. So you can say, here's the overall project, but this is the first step. A bit like going upstairs. Here's the first stair. When we get to the first stair, we're going to achieve this. And then we go on to the next stair. And then eventually we're going to get to the top of that mountain. And I will say, if you deliver it in that way to this person, you're
mm-hmm.
going to have total success. Because whatever
wow.
this is, this new project, I can tell you now, it's very spirit-based. Okay,
yes.
It's very spirit-based.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that it has to be that you're doing clairvoyance or anything like that, but it's very spirit-based. It's very connected with your community, connected with everything that you hold in your heart as being an important part of our world. And you also need to stop double-doubting yourself. You're very clairvoyantly connected or psychically connected. And to anybody listening, please be aware that everybody is psychic. Okay? It's a bit like a muscle. If I go and try and play basketball or soccer or any vigorous sport at the moment, I will fail miserably because I haven't worked those muscles that I need to achieve that. But if I go and do what I need and I keep practicing and stuff like that, I'm going to be better at it. I'm going to enjoy it. It's not going to seem like an arduous journey. It's not going to feel, oh, my gosh, I've got to go and do it. Okay, for anybody listening in, if you want to go in the direction of opening up your spiritual side, do it and trust in it. But if you haven't worked that muscle in a while, don't expect amazing things to happen on day one. Okay, but reward yourself every single time for what you do get. Get a journal, write things down, whatever you get. When you go to sleep at night, take a moment to, before you go to sleep, ask a question of spirit. And then allow yourself to go into drift into sleep state and see what you get the next morning. And maybe you've got a combination of a Salvador Dali painting there because you had cheese and peanut butter before you went to bed. Or maybe you've got some information there of things that you can work on. And, of course, spirit do not come out in clear communication and say, hey, Katie, this is what you've got to do. It might be in metaphors. It might be in symbols. It might be in scenarios. It might be constant. You'll see something and you'll go, oh, my gosh, why do I keep seeing this particular thing? Or why does this keep happening? Because that's them going, hello, wake up in there. Okay? And you're already getting that. And, of course, I call this. We doubt it. We do that little unconscious thing with our, or subconscious thing where we go, no, that can't be true. Really? So trust in that, hon. Please trust in that. And for you, you count your blessings every single day. I know you do. I know you do. And you count the blessings that sometimes are not what would be deemed as blessings that could have been far worse. And anybody that's listening, please take a note of that. Count your blessings every single day, even the ones that didn't quite be the way you wanted them to be, because maybe they could have been far worse. You know, sometimes the guy that cuts me off and I end up almost crashing could have been the crash. So that's a thankfulness. That's a blessing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow, Debbie, that was way more than the mini reading. Yeah, that was way more than the mini reading. But you were so in the flow that I didn't want to interrupt you, and I wanted Katie also to get the most benefit out of it. But
that was
beautiful because I can. Right? Did you get that? Was it relevant to you, Katie?
Oh, yes, everything she said, even the part of my next project being more spirit-based, the idea came to me in a dream, you know,
wow.
So, yes, all of it,
okay.
Yeah, and
amazing.
I do second-guess myself, so, yeah, so I guess overall it's just I will stick with this person, I just have to, I guess,
structure it differently, so you'll get better from them.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Just structure the way you ask them to deliver something, or don't give them the whole pie. Give them a piece at a time. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, the second card that I pulled for you was Upon a Star out of the deck. And Upon a Star means that you can, it's a wish card. When I'm doing a reading and anybody gets this card, I always say, you don't have to make your wish right in this moment. When you're ready, put your wish up to spirit. Now, and this is for anybody that out there listening. When they're asking spirit for something, do not say, I want XXX. So I say, I want a red Ferrari. Spirit, give me a red Ferrari. Please, 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 give me a red Ferrari. Well, spirit goes, well, that's a shame. You've got a green Ferrari, but she stipulated red. You see where I'm going with this? So if we say, I want a red Ferrari or something to my highest good or something better, something that's going to help me, we don't close that door to what we think is best for us in our world. Okay, so bring that element in. And anybody that's listening, you can do exactly the same. Don't say, I want this house, or I want this job. I want this job or something to my highest good or something better. So that way, if you don't get it, or it doesn't turn out exactly as it should do, know that something else is coming, because that wasn't the right thing for you, or the right person for you, or the right job for you.
Wow.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds fantastic. And Katie, if you want to listen to this again, go ahead and follow the Sippy Talk Show, and I will send you a link to the show so that you can listen to it anytime you want, kind of to refresh your memory. Thank you, Debbie, so much. This was amazing. I love it. I love the way you did that. And I love the cards that came up to you. That was really, really beautiful. So if somebody wants to, and thank you, Katie, for participating.
Thank
somebody
you.
Wants to get
thank
a hold
you.
Of
thank
you.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Somebody wants to get a hold of you. Thank you. If you somebody wants to get a hold of you, Debbie, how do they get a hold of you?
They just go to my website, vibrational-energy.com. You land on there, there's everything. You can connect with me for a reading. You can listen to my weekly YouTube readings. You can listen to these podcasts. But this podcast, once I get the link sent, you can sign up for my monthly newsletter. You can find my cards there, my oracle cards, my affirmation cards. And I have three decks now that are available as mobile apps, and there's all links in there on how you can download them for free, to play with them to start with, and all of those kind of things.
Okay, I'm adding your website to the description of the show so anybody that can go online can actually access your website. And it's right next to you. Vibrational energy.
Vibrational. Hyphen,
hello.
Or dash energy. Vibrational. Vibrational.
Dash.
Hyphen energy. .com or dash. Some people call it a hyphen. I call it a dash. So I think in North
vibration,
America it's more of a hyphen.
Okay. Vibration.
Vibrational energy.
Dash. Vibrational dash energy. .com. vibrationaldashenergy.com. That's the website.
Yeah.
And from there, they can get a hold of you and contact you and do everything.
And Tiffy, if you go to the communications we've had, that is in the bottom of my signature line, so it's all there. And if you look up Debbie Anderson's vibrational energy, if you can't find me on the website, you'll find me by doing that as well.
Wonderful. What about vibrationalenergy.com? And okay, thank you.
Vibrational-energy.com. I'm on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest.
Wonderful. I'm updating. Yes, I'm updating that right now so that within the next 5 minutes, if they go to the, all you have to do is just click on that link and it'll take you straight to that website if you don't remember what it is.
Okay.
Or you can always listen to this again and then go back and hear you. Sorry. Debbie, this was wonderful. I really appreciate it. There's so much more that I need to learn about the cards that I really don't understand, but I can't expect to get everything done in a half hour, obviously. But I appreciate you opening my eyes.
The thing I always try and say to people is just to have fun with it. Don't overthink it. Just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just have fun. Exactly. I like that. So everybody go out, have fun, get some cards, see some beautiful images. I've seen some beautiful images on your cards.
Thank you.
And start playing. Start playing with it and see what you get, because you, like you said, Debbie, you will be surprised. You'll come up for you. And it is always really fun and surprising to have things come up that you really need to know at that moment in that time. So we appreciate
it a lot.
Thank you again, Debbie. It's been a total pleasure. And hopefully we will be able to do this again sometimes and you can hear more about it, because there is so much. Yeah, because there's so much more to hear about it.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening to Tippy Talk, everybody. You have been listening to me, Tippy Feldenstein, and my guest today, Debbie Anderson, who is a very charming and amazing oracle. Until we meet again, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.